back here for the April 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
News director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore. We are having a very end. I'm fascinated by this conversation that we're having here, Mike, and I think really opening some perspectives that people didn't think about. But let's pick up where we were before the break.
Right, we're talking about so what are the options under the new law? We talked about the limiting ability of a court to place a child in the Department of Corrections. So what happens then is what the options left are. The 90 days detention and or probation. And probation is what most juveniles get. But the probation now is limited. And if you're placed on probation, a juvenile can only be placed on probation for 4 months. 120 days, basically, is what they can be placed. Now, that can be extended under certain circumstances. If they're under intensive probation, it can be up to a year. Or if they're completing a treatment program, it can be up to a year, and the law is kind of talks about that, but that's basically what the law says. So if you're in a treatment program or you're intensive probation, you have to a year not to pay restitution. That you can't extend probation to pay restitution. So if a juvenile gets on probation, which is basically one of the only options that the court would have other than placing the child in detention, and orders them to make restitution, and they complete their terms of the probation, but they don't pay restitution, the court isn't authorized to extend that probation. So the kid's done at the end of 4 months. I mean, according to the way the law is written. So that's concerning to me, especially in light of the case that we're dealing with. Some of the other things that you might find interesting is, so what happens if the kid violates probation? And it used to be, and I would say that, over my 20 years, that most of the kids that get sent to the Department of Corrections are sent because they violate probation. You know, I think that judges today and before have always tried to treat kids in the community, put them on probation, set some rules up, have court services, make them follow the rules. And if they can't follow them after a certain number of times, then they get sent to the Department of Corrections. Well, that's changed now too. They can't send them to the Department of Corrections on a probation violation unless the probation violation is a new crime. And so if they and to say that, and here's what happens. So, and it has to be a crime. It can't be a CHINS crime. So if we have a child and condition of their probation is to go to school, and they tell us they ain't going to school, we can't revoke them for that. That's the judge can't do anything with it. I mean, that's the way I read the law. Now, I'm sure that some people will probably disagree with me, but that's the way I read the law. And I don't know that was the intent. Now, what are they going to do with these kids that don't want to, or if they're picked up for underage consumption? That's not that's a CHINS crime. You can't send them on that. You know, you can't send an Department of Corrections on that. And if they don't go to their treatment program, or if the judge imposes a curfew, what do you do? If the judge imposes house arrest and the child violates house arrest, they're limited on what they can do on a revocation. Because it used to be, if they did those things 4, 5, 6 times, then they would send in an Department of Corrections. Now, that's not going to be an option for the judge. Again, unless the judge makes a finding that the child is a risk to another person physically. They are limited in what they can do. And I was actually talking to a judge last Saturday at a volleyball game that my daughter was playing in. And him and I had about an hour and a half conversation on this exact topic, that, you know, that he felt like, what is going on, that my discretion is being taken away? Because, you know, no one wants to send the kids to detention or to the Department of Corrections. But at some point, you're going to have to do that. And this new law, the way it's written, really limits that to a large extent. And that's very concerning to me. And I think it's should be concerning to other people because of the specific case we're talking about. You know, if they get put on probation and they're told to do something and they don't do it, what are we going to be able to do with them? because that will be after July 1st, and I would assume that this new law would apply. So what are we going to do with them then? And that would be a question that somebody is going to have to answer somewhere down the road.
What else do you see in there, whether it relates to this particular case or not, that you've got an awful lot of highlighted space there in that copy of the law you've got? What else do you see right now standing out? Well, here, let's. You mentioned CHINs a little bit. Explain that.
A CHIN's a child in need of supervision, and a CHIN's generally is a crime it's a status offense is what they call it. So you can only commit this crime because of your age. So underage consumption, you can only be guilty of underage consumption if you're under 21. Truancy, you can only be guilty of that when you're of compulsory school age, so under 18. Tobacco crimes. Sometimes we have parents come in that are having trouble with their kids. They're running away. They're not really violating the law, but they won't come home. They're staying with friends. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing, staying out till 4 in the morning, not listening to their parents. They would bring them into my office and file a CHINs petition, that child in need of supervision, and then we get involved and try to help that family get on the right track. So I think there's some good uses to it, and I appreciate the fact that the underage and those things are CHINs rather than delinquency. I think there was some good thought behind that. But that's the difference between a CHINs and a delinquency.
Again, what else do you see in there that stands out pertinent to this vandalism case or just in general that you think, could be problematic moving forward?
Yeah, and I talk specifically about the delinquency. So if a child is adjudicated a delinquent child, our options are restricted of what they are now. So we're backing up a little bit. A CHINs, they're backed up as well. So you have the same obstacles before you can do the ultimate sanction, which is the Department of Corrections. I think we talked about this before, but one of my concerns from the beginning was on the front end of this about diversion programs. And we're lucky enough in Beetle County to have a diversion program. I think we're probably the only county in the state that has a diversion program outside of what court services does for underage consumptions. In this new law, a child for certain crimes, we're mandated to give them a diversion program. Well, I always thought that was kind of interesting, because what if we don't have one? Then what do we do? I mean, and that question isn't answered in here, but basically the law says is that we have to give them a diversion program for certain crimes. Like if the child has no prior adjudications and they're convicted of a class one misdemeanor, or their charge is a class one misdemeanor or lower, and it's not a violent class one misdemeanor or lower, we have to give them a diversion program. I mean, but what are they going to do in Brule County? I don't think they have a diversion program. What are you going to do? And then it allows the juvenile. So if I'm the prosecutor and I say, well, I don't think this person should get the diversion program, the juvenile can go to court and petition the judge to force the prosecutor to put them in a diversion program. And hopefully this happens, but under this law, it looks like there's some Department of Social Services and Department of Corrections are supposed to get involved and help counties come up with diversion programs, and I hope that happens, because I think diversion programs are good. And I think that would be a good thing to have in the law. It's just you're putting the cart before the horse a little bit. You know, before we mandate diversion programs, let's have a couple. To put them in. I just think that would be the prudent way to do something. So that's another concern. That doesn't really apply to the case that we're talking about. That's more on the delinquency on the back end. But that was my concern initially with it, was on the front end. But on the back end, now you can see that I really have some questions about how this is going to work going forward. I mean, we do everything in our power not to do this now. But to say that you can't send a kid to the Department of Corrections unless you answer A, B, C, and D, and basically they have to commit a class 2 felony or above to even be eligible, and you can't send them on a probation violation unless they commit another crime, that's concerning to me, because I think there's a lot of times that I think that helps the juvenile, and I think it keeps the public safe by committing to them. the Department of Corrections, because that's really the only option we have left. But we'll see what happens.
We will take one final break here, come back, and put a close on this month's program. You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.